topic on today's Fantasy Football Foreigners blog is Drake May and how his QB16 ADP this summer really missed the ball on what he could be. And I admit that I did not see this coming either, that he could be right now the QB5 with a clear shot of being the QB3 in the next week or two. I want to focus this podcast episode on the other quarterback from last night, Jackson Dart, who also kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, replacing Russell Wilson, a lot of hype, obviously, but I don't think people expected him to be a weekly fantasy starter in year one, especially losing Malik Nabers. And then, especially after that, losing his number one running back, or de facto number one, Cam Scatabo. Those are pretty big losses for a rookie quarterback. And then you add in the third issue, which is based on his concussion, that, you know, the buzz entering last night's game was he was going to run less. And if you are not the dual threat quarterback that you used to be, you have to compensate from a fantasy perspective in some other ways. So, you know, Lamar Jackson is exhibit A for that this year. If you're not running much, you got to be that much better as a passer, or that much more proficient to be able to meet, you know, expectations as a fantasy asset. Jackson Dart has a lot of obstacles that he has confronted this year while still being a good fantasy quarterback. It's pretty incredible. I am excited by the prospect of Jackson Dart being possibly next year's Drake May. That he's kind of, you know, he'll enter this offseason as someone who definitely has a bright future. But I don't think, I mean, if the season ended today, his ADP next summer would probably be somewhere around 11 or 12 at the best, in my opinion. And at the worst, maybe 15, 16, depending on kind of how bullish people feel about some other quarterbacks. That's exactly where I want. You know, Dak Prescott, as many of you know, or some of you, if you've been listening to this for a while, was my favorite non-top 10 fantasy quarterback this summer. I was convinced that he was going to be much better than expected. And in fact, for most of the summer, he was ranked behind Justin Fields. And I had a podcast episode where I explicitly called that out, that it was inconceivable that Dak Prescott would finish worse than Justin Fields this season. It made absolutely no sense. And I think told listeners to bookmark that episode. And if I'm wrong, please call me out on it. Jackson Dart, I think next year could be in a similar boat of a vastly undervalued quarterback because the market likes to look at statistics. I've talked about this before from the previous year. And if you're a young up and comer, you know, the ADP might be one or two or three spots better than how you finished in that previous year. If you are post-prime, your ADP is going to be a few spots often worse than how you finished. That's kind of how the market works. So Jackson Dart is ascending, but if he kind of limps through the end of the season as less of a dual-threat quarterback than he has been earlier in the season, and if he averages, you know, 15, 17 points per game, let's say, and finishes as the QB 15, 16, 17, something like that, and I think next year, his ADP next summer will be somewhere around, at the best, QB 13. I think that would be kind of the highest point. If he finishes around QB 15, 16, 17 this year, his worst realistic ADP next summer would be, I would say, QB 16. So somewhere in QB 13 to QB 16. I do a lot of these predictions, by the way, on my own, just in trying to size up after the season where I think players are going to end up. And it's shocking how and I say this with all humility, how accurate they are. And that's because there really is kind of a system to it. And the system is understanding where the market views these players. Jackson Dart is someone who has clear top 10 potential next year. And one of the big reasons why, there's several big reasons why, the eventual return of Cam Scatabo. The fact is, it's incredible that Tyrone Tracy and Devin Singletary have been as productive as they have been. But losing Scatabo was a hit. Scatabo is a special rookie, with incredible rushing and pass catching that you know, combined Tyrone Tracy and Devin Singletary do a good job, but it's not the same without Scadamo. And then, of course, it's definitely not the same without Malik Nabers. If your top wideout is the great and underappreciated every year, Wandell Robinson, but then after that, it's a perennial journeyman, although he's not really a journeyman. He's been on the Giants the whole time. But, you know, a guy I've talked about before, Darius Slayton is the number two. Isaiah Hodgins, you know, is probably the number three. That's a pretty thin wideout core compared to other teams. I mean, Slayton would be, has been in past years for the Giants, you know, at times number four, number five receiver. So this is a pretty thin receiver core. And when you get Malik Nabers back, a guy who can be easily a top 10 fantasy receiver, and you still have Wandale Robinson, and you've got Slayton or whoever else they get, they could draft someone, they could sign someone as a number three. Suddenly you have Jackson Dart with an array of talent surrounding him. And he no longer has to be the same kind of dual threat quarterback to be a top 10 fantasy QB. He can be a guy who throws for 250 and two scores a game on average and gets you a baseline of about 18 points, add in the interceptions, add in the rushing yards, and you're still looking about 18 points. That's not bad and that could be, should be, most seasons would be good enough for top 10 or just on the cusp of top 10. So keep an eye out. You can bookmark this podcast episode. And I'm predicting wherever Jackson Dart finishes, his gap in terms of his ADP the next season is going to be around either two spots better to around one or two spots worse than how he finishes this year. And that is in points per game, not in overall, because he's already missed games. So we don't want to count that against him. It's points per game. And we'll see what happens. It is a good thing to do, this is the last thing I'll say, to do this exercise with players if you have the time, or find an analyst or a self-described expert who does it themselves, because you want to be able to anticipate where the bargains are going to be, because then what happens is when you hit the summer, when you start getting into July, you start to see those movements of players. And I'll give you a quick example. Dak Prescott. That movement, he started the summer around QB 15 and worked his way up, I think, to QB 11 by the end of the summer. There was a movement upwards, and it reached a point where Dak Prescott was still a bargain, but wasn't the same bargain. And so finding those players who might be on an inexplicable downswing, not because of anything that happened in camp, but just because there's not a lot of buzz, not a lot of interest, that's where you can capitalize on guys who, let's say Jackson Dart next summer has a quiet camp. He might start out the summer as a QB 14 ADP and slip to QB 16 by the end of the summer. You've already documented him as a bargain. Suddenly it becomes an uber bargain. And that's where you know you want to strike. So let's see how he does the rest of the season. It's pretty impressive what he's done so far. He does have obstacles facing him for the rest of the season. And I like that he does, because whatever happens this year, he will be that much better next season. I'm BJ Riddell, Fantasy Football for Winners. Follow me on the blog. Email me anytime. I'll see you tomorrow.